All right. Well, Psalms 90 is actually talking about getting your life together. It's talking about you getting into the place that you need to be. Now, the good news is a lot of people talk about getting their life together and it being a hard thing. Can I tell you that getting your life together is not a hard thing? I'm not saying you're not going to face hard times. I'm not going to say everything you're going to do is easy. But getting your life to where it needs to be is not a hard occasion. What you need to do to get your life together is simply do the word. So 90 is talking about getting your life together. It's talking about doing the word. Verse 91, see, this is what it is. Once you get your life in, and I'm not telling you to be perfect. God is not saying that your life is going to be perfect. He just says, get on your path. Get your life. Start doing the word. Start somewhere. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You know how you move a mountain? Start moving stones. And maybe put a little bit of dynamite in there. But it first starts doing something small. When you build a home, the foundation seems like it takes forever. But once that foundation is laid, then boom, the house seems like it goes up overnight. So sometimes doing the word may seem like this is taking forever. But let me tell you, you're putting a foundation down. And once that foundation is down, boom, all of a sudden you get into verse 91 and Jesus, God, is beginning to tell us, our Father is beginning to tell us what he wants to do in our lives. And notice, to get into God's word, there's always your part to play. God is not a lottery where we sit around waiting for him to call our number. We put our hands to the plow and God blesses it. Now, God's going to bring blessings that you don't even deserve. First of all, we don't deserve any of them. So we don't get into a work mentality, but we've got to pursue God. We've got to pursue the things of the Lord. We've got to actively do something. I had someone tell me, but Pastor, what if I miss it? I'll tell you what my dad always told me in baseball. Don't go down without swinging. You may miss it, but guess what? God is big enough to cover you. But swing away. And so when it comes to the word of God, let's begin to put our hands to the bat. All right, I'm glad y'all agree with me this morning. And so 90 is telling us to get our life in order. 91 is telling us what God wants to do. Actually, in verse 1, I love this. It says the secret place of the Most High. Look at your neighbor. Now, I want you to know something. Egypt, when the plagues came up. Now, there is a discrepancy among most theologians. Some believe that this was written while the children of Israel were in the desert. But the keynote is others believe it was written while the plagues were going on. Either way, whether it was in the desert or whether it was while the plagues are going on, is at a moment that Israel is seeing the hand of God move mightily in their favor. But they're seeing devastation all around them during the plagues. So the lice comes. Now, where are the children of Israel at this time? They don't live in Egypt. Now, Egypt was so nice to let them come and serve in Egypt. Very nice people. But they couldn't live in Egypt. So where do they live? Anybody remember? All my scholars. Goshen. Do you know what happened when lice filled Egypt? It didn't in Goshen. Now, we are told that one of the plagues, that at noonday it was black. It was dark. You couldn't see in front of you. But a light shone down from heaven in Goshen. Do you think the children of Israel didn't have light? They had light. When the frogs came in, Goshen was frog-free. When the locusts came in, when the water turned to blood, none of the Egyptians had water. Israel had water. Just a question. Do you think any Egyptians might have visited Goshen? And Goshen was beneath them. Goshen was where the slaves lived. And Egypt, the Egyptians didn't go to Goshen. But I just wonder if anybody sneaked over to get some water. Do you think all of a sudden, could you imagine being an Egyptian during that time? It's dark, but all of a sudden you see like a mag light shining down from heaven on one location. That was noticeable. when all the Egyptians had spores from all the flies and all the problems and all the pestilence, and they had sores that were on their face, the slaves had none. They were fine. When all the cattle of Egypt died, Goshen still had their cattle. And so this is written in a time that they have seen the hand of God move strong and mightily on their behalf. Look at your neighbor and say, get in Goshen. Look at your other neighbor and say, don't get out of Goshen. Now, you might ask, where is Goshen for me? Where is Goshen for me? Well, I'm going to tell you where Goshen is for you. Oh. Someone got it. Praise the Lord. Nah. Goshen, in verse 1, is the secret place of the Most High. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, notice this. It does not say shall abide under the shadow of the United States of America, or Canada, or Mexico, or anywhere else, under the shadow of God Almighty. And I'm thankful for our country. I am very much a patriot and love the United States. I think the more you travel overseas, the more you appreciate your freedoms as American. Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect. We got a lot of problems. One biggest problem is neither side, whether it's right wing, left wing, in the middle, the front of the bird, the back of the bird, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't seem like any of them is following the Constitution of the United States, which says God has given us inalienable rights. We were one of the first nations in the world, the only nation that I have knowledge of, that says your rights are given to you by God Almighty. And no man and no government can take that away from you, even though they might be trying. We live in a great nation. And so, just the fact that you live here does not guarantee the blessing of God on you. I'm glad that our nation is blessed. But we got to understand, no matter how good the stock market is or how bad it is, how great our 401k is producing or how bad it is, our 401k may have become a 20K. It might be split in half. But wherever we are under the shadow of God Almighty. Let's just go ahead and read Psalms 91. Verse 2, and I say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely, not maybe, but absolutely, without a shadow of doubt, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl and from the noise of the pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even my Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling. Can you? Okay, now think about this. As they're writing this, they just either have gone through or in the midst of all the plagues that are hitting Egypt. This isn't something they're just, they're living this right now. For He shall give His angels charge over thee. You know, we don't have any record of this, but I just wonder, did angels show up? Did angels stand in a position? We know they were there, because angels surround us. Were they in position? Did they become noticeable? Did they expose themselves to the people? We don't have record of it, for it or against it. But I just wonder. Because they're talking about the angels will keep their hands upon us. Verse 13. But thou shalt tread upon the lion and the otter, thy young lion. And this is what I love. It doesn't just say lion. It says young lion. You, if it's an old lion and wore out, you know, been in the circus for 15 years, then maybe you will tread upon them after they feed them. But God is saying, no, a young lion, a lion that is able, well able to take someone down. The Bible says, you shall tread them under your feet. Verse 14, because thou hast set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because this is the Lord talking to us, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him, and with a long life, somebody say long life, I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's a good promise from the Lord. Now, your Goshen, your secret place of the Most High, is found in John, 1 John chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. You can write it down. It states being in fellowship with God. When you know the name of the Lord, when you know God, when you're in fellowship with him, that is your secret place in the Most High. That is your Goshen. That is being in your place. So many people, oh, I want to be in my place. I want to be in my place. I want to be in my place. Work on your relationship and fellowship with God. Get in the Word. Get his truth in your mouth. Now, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus that you have to be born again. After you're born again, we become members of the body of Christ. We become sons and daughters of the Lord. And that's automatic. And I'm not questioning no Christian's relationship with the Lord or their true salvation. I don't question it because, first of all, the Bible tells me not to judge. Now, judging does not mean calling someone a thief a thief. See, this is what's interesting to me. The body of Christ gets to a place where you have stolen. You can't judge me. God is my judge. Yeah, heaven and hell, I will never be able to decide from you. But if you steal from my house every time you come over, you're not invited back. That's not judging people. You've lied to me so many times, I'm not listening to you anymore. You know, I've used this example. Bob, the wonderful guy that he is, Rosie had her hand full and she's almost got him trained. She's working on him. But the deal is, if I showed up to Bob's house and they've invited me over, especially when I was single because they know I needed food, and they invited me over. If I showed up to Bob's house and every time he punched me in the face and then said, oh, Tim, I'm so sorry. I don't know what came over me. There was a fly and I just wanted to kill him. And he says, please forgive me. I'd be leery of Bob, and I might even come over a second time. But if I come over a second time because Rosie's cooking is amazing. Amen. Glory to God. And her pecan pie is delicious. But if she invited me over and Bob punched me the second time and says, oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Please, 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 please forgive me. You know what? I'm not going to go over if Bob is there anymore. I will forgive him. I'm not going to get a baseball bat and come back to him. I'm not going to hurt his vehicle. I'm not going to come after him. But you know what? I can judge his character when it's dealing with me, and I don't have to show up or be involved with Bob anymore. So I can judge a relationship that I have. Now, I can't tell you if Bob is going to heaven or hell. I believe with everything in me he's on his way to heaven because I believe he has a relationship with the Father, and I think it shines throughout his life. But the thing in the matter of it is I can't judge heaven and hell issues. But I can judge the fact if he's being a jerk to me and I don't want to be around it anymore. You can't judge me. Well, your police report says something other than that. The fact that you're listed 50 times on the website there might make me believe that you should not be involved in my life at this moment in time. Now, I'm not saying you don't get forgiveness of your sins. But can I tell you this? When we do background checks with our kids, and somebody, if they had a history of not being able to be around kids, you know, I'm not going to put them in the children's church. And we judge that. You can't judge me. Yes, I can. My children are important to me. But I can't decide heaven and hell issues for you. So let's get over that whole you can't judge me stuff. There are some things you can judge very well. And so we need to get into our Goshen. We need to get into our relationship with the Lord. It does, because people are mean or hateful, does not mean that they're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean that their relationship with God, that we can judge it on those basis. But we can judge. Who was that for? I don't know. You don't have to raise your hand. But we need to get into our high calling. We need to get into the place of the Most High, under the shadow of Almighty. Let's look and notice verse 1. Go ahead and look back at that. You being close to yourself, we stay in our place. We need to stay in the place that God has called us. Because when we get into the place that God has called us, that is our Goshen. That is the place that we are meant to be. And do you know what? The enemy hates when you're in your place. And he will try every tactic that has worked in churches before. The enemy has got in and split churches that were great. The enemy has got in and he tells people, and he's done everything from working with the musicians to the people in the seat to the sound, and nobody understands me, nobody notices that they cut my microphone down, and the devil has got in. Pastor's preaching a message that's not true. He got the word wrong. That's not the definition of that word that he quoted. And maybe I'm reading out of the Thayer's and you might be reading out of the Strong's. Oh. And they'll let something that simple separate them from their Goshen. And then they'll run to the next church and they'll go there for so long until that pastor offends them. And then they'll go to the next church and they hop around. Oh, Jesus, help us. Can you imagine the children of Israel saying, you know what? Goshen's dark right now. Let's go over there. Egypt is dark. Let's go spend time with the Egyptians. We don't get into the mess of the world. We stay in our place. Now, notice it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That word dwelleth is the word, are y'all ready for this? Yashav, which means to remain. The definition, the dictionary definition, means to dwell in as to live in. The Hebrew says to stay, to remain in, to not leave. We are to get in the presence of God. We are to get unto our Most High and dwell and never leave there. It should be our way of life. God is our life. It's not something we do. Church is not something we do. We are the church. There's a reason for that R in front of our name. We are the church. We don't go to church. We bring the church with us. You want to know why it's important that you show up on time? You want to know why it's important? So that when we get into praise and worship, one should put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10. And so when you show up, you are the church. When you praise God, you cause other people to find relief. Your praise blesses other people, whether they realize it or not. When David came into Saul and he played his harp, the evil spirits that were bothering Saul fled. Your worship, you being the church, will cause overflow to someone who doesn't even have fellowship with the Lord. We've had people make this, when I come to church, it's just I find peace there. I don't know what it is about it. It's because you are the church, and when you show up, we are having church. We have church at our house. We have church in our car. We have church in our car when we're driving to work. We're listening to the Word. We're listening to the Bible on MP3, or whether you're still with CDs or tapes. I don't know where you are, but where you are, you're listening. You're putting in the Word. You're hearing the Word, which is causing faith to rise up on the inside of you, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. And so you are not coming to church. You are the church. You need to look at your neighbor and say, I am the church. Look at your other neighbor and says, you is the church. I know that's not proper, but it'll get the point across. Do you know what? You dwell in the shadow, or you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you know what? Just recently, we had a get-together at the house, and, you know, we had the doors on the garage open, and you stand in the sun, and it's like, oh, that's warm. You know, that's, and have you ever been on the, to be like, that is really, really searing. It may not be that warm. It may be 95 degrees outside, which I find very hot now that I live in Wisconsin. When I go back to Florida, I remember one time I went home for Christmas and I was carrying my luggage up the stairs. And by the time I got to the top, I'm sweating in December. And I remember I looked at my mother and I said, this is not right. I used to believe when they sang, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, it was the beaches of Florida. I had no idea they were talking about snow. But I have acclimated to Wisconsin weather and love it, which people find extremely weird. But I remember standing out in the sun feeling uncomfortable, feeling a little, you know, just starting to break a sweat, not enjoying the searing of the sun, and it wasn't that hot. But you know what happened? I stepped into the garage, and there was a shadow. Now, did all the heat go away? No, I still felt the warmth. But all of a sudden, the searing effect is gone. So when we come and abide in the shadow of the Almighty, it is not telling us every problem will disappear. But what it is telling us, the searing, when the world turns up the heat, when they begin to turn up the persecution, when they begin, as the king did, Nebuchadnezzar, turn the furnace up, and the people said, we will not bow and we will not burn, they recognized they were dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty. And all the problems of the world don't disappear, but that searing heat, all of a sudden you can stand up and say, I don't feel it like everybody else feels it. I don't react like everybody else reacts. Why? Because I'm in the shadow of God Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress. You know, I missed a good part of that. I will say of the Lord. It doesn't just say that he is. It says that I will, with my own mouth, I will lift up my own voice, and I will say, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Oh, my goodness. You know, a lot of us trust in our own abilities, and that's fine. It's good to know what you're good at. You know, someone told me one time, because they said, what are you good at? And I said, these are the things I'm good at. And they said, well, you're awfully prideful about that. No, I just know me. I know me. I know what I'm good at, and I know what I am not good at. And you know, things that I'm not good at, I try to have other people do it that are good at it. Because we're all called for a purpose. You're 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 called for a purpose. There are things that you are good at and that you are a specialist at. Then do it. And there might be, I don't know, needs in the church. And you are good at it. And you can fulfill that spot. I would just suggest that maybe you get plugged in and, I don't know, do it. And how about this? Be faithful. Oh, my Lord. If anyone should be faithful, it should be the church. We should show up to work on time. And not make up lame reasons why we were late. We actually should be the church. We should live and breathe the church. And that doesn't mean, some people are, I don't want to do that. That's too much. My grandma was to church. No. She had her relationship with the church, I'm sure. But your relationship with being the church looks completely different. But be the church. Look at your neighbor and say, I am the church. But we need to quit trusting just in ourselves. We need to give our problems to the Lord. And let's look at this verse. It says, I will say. I will what? You should let your ears hear your mouth speak the word. What do angels hearken to? The voice of the word. Not the word. If you say the word, you got it wrong. It says angels will hearken to the voice of the word. Whether God speaks it or whether you speak it, the angels of the Lord, the messengers of God, hearken to the spoken word. You can get your Bible, open it up, and have an underlined scripture and say, angels, you do this. They hearken to the voice of the word. You don't have to tell angels jack. All you have to do is speak the word. And God's messengers hearken to the voice of the word. The word of God should be in our mouth. Can I just say this too? When something surprises us, we should not yell out the same things the world yells out. When you stub your toe, you probably shouldn't yell out the same things the world yells out. But I will give you a pass if you step on a Lego. That's deadly. But what comes out of our mouth should be God's word. Can I tell you something? I had someone make fun of me because I stubbed my toe and I yelled, Jesus, 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 Jesus. The pink, oh, I don't step on those. Those things are deadly. The pinky toe is there to show you where furniture is. But we will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. In him will I trust. Let's put our trust in the Lord. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowl. The fowl, that's the small attacks. And the noise of the pestilence, that's the large attacks. God's got you if it's small, and God's got you if it's large. He shall cover thee with his feathers. God does not have wings. Okay? But this is speaking like a mother hen covers her babies. God's got you covered. I love the story I heard from a farmer a long time ago. And he wasn't trying to be religious or talking about Jesus. He talked about when his barn burned down. And he said he was going through it. And a lot of his animals didn't make it out. And he said he was just kicking wood, looking through, trying to find some of the tools that he left in there. And he said he came to a mother hen that was dead. She was burned. And he said, I just came up, and I just nudged her, just to roll her over. And he said, from underneath her ran the chicks. She covered them long enough to save their life. I'm going to tell you something. God does not die and cannot be burned up. And when you hide under the shadow of the Almighty, the world, or Nebuchadnezzar, whoever is in charge of the government can turn the furnace up as hot as they want it. But I'm going to tell you something. When you are under the shadow of God Almighty, it will consume them before it consumes you. He shall cover thee with thy feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His trust shall be, his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. How many know what a shield and a buckler is? That's right. A shield is a small buckler. Our buckler, excuse me, is a small shield. Now, the shield that they're talking about, we're talking about the days of the Romans. Have you seen their shields? They're like doors. They were not these nice, if you've seen 300, that would be more like a buckler. Maybe a buckler would be smaller, but that size shield, they were like doors. And they would hold the shield. And when the arrows flew, they knew. And the Romans would get together and put their shields all together above and in front of them, and it would take out every arrow that was shot at them. Now, the buckler was big enough for more than one person. Excuse me. The shield was big enough for more than one person to stand behind. The buckler was just for you. And what God is saying is his truth can cover you and your whole family. It can cover your brother, your sister, your mother. The truth can cover your family. But if you get into a one-on-one fight with the enemy, you got a buckler and it's just for you. You can find things in the Word of God that covers your whole family, but you can find the truth of the Word of God that covers just you and your situation. So if the battle is turned up, if the arrows are flying, you can cover your whole family. Oh, Lord, I don't know. My family, they're not where they need to be. Well, stand up with the truth of God and cover your family. God is able to move mountains. And so then when you get one-on-one, because sometimes the attack is against the whole family. Sometimes the attack is generational, but sometimes the attack is just focused right on you. And whether it's the whole family, whether it's your whole workplace environment, whatever is going on, hold your shield up and be strong. And if you get one-on-one, if something's directed right at you, God's got you covered with that as well. But notice, what is our shield? It is His truth. It is the Word of God. That is what has us covered. If that is your shield and that's your buckler, I would just recommend you get into God's Word. Because you can have all the weaponry in the world, but if you don't use it, it's not going to help you. A lot of examples just came through my mind that I'm going to leave alone. Let's just put it this way. If you went into my father's house uninvited, let's just say at night, I know a good story that fits this. I was in traveling ministry at one time. And I decided I was going to stay a little longer in a certain state to visit with friends after the meeting. And they had to go. And so I was going to surprise my mother. I was going to come in. Because I've snuck, slowly in the house while she was sleeping and never woke her up. And I thought, I'm going to sneak in the house and I'm going to come down for breakfast and it'll be a big hurrah. And I'm carrying my suitcase, and I make it up the step, and my suitcase sort of gets me off balance, and I barely touched the wall with my shoulder. And I stopped, and I listened, and I didn't hear anything. Okay, she's still sleeping. I can keep going. My next step, and I'm looking down, a red dot hits my chest. My mother's voice, she says, "I have a gun, and I will shoot you." I fell to the floor, the stairs on the bottom. I said, "Mama, it's me, it's me, it's me." She flips the light on. She's in her nightgown. My father's not there. She holds the gun in the air and she looks at me. She says, "We will talk about this in the morning." She goes to her room. She shuts the door. I turn the light off and I am so thankful my mother was well trained. I mean, just think if she would have just shot away. Holy God. I have a gun. I'll shoot. The story could have turned out much different. But I am very thankful. And so let's just put it this way. If you visited my mother's house, I'm not sure what reception you would get if you made your way in without their permission. People can have weaponry, but if they don't know how to use it properly, it will do nothing for them. So I would recommend getting into God's Word and using it appropriately. The Bible tells us to rightly divide in Timothy, rightly divide the Word of God. So if it can rightly be divided, it can also wrongly be divided. So we don't need to just take mama and daddy's word for it. Can I tell you this? Don't even take pastor's word for it. Dig into the Word of God. Get into the original language. Read the definitions. Read commentaries. Listen to other ministers and get the Word of God on the inside of you. We're ending in a couple minutes. Who believes me? Praise the Lord. Verse 5, are you ready? "Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday." You are covered whether it is at night or you're covered whether it is at day. You know what? I told you this story that there was a time where fear gripped my heart that something may happen to my children at night. And it caused me to be awake several times, 4, 5, 6 times a night, waking up, getting up, walking in the room, checking on them. And to such a degree, I even remember one time, Ellie wasn't moving enough. Like, I couldn't see her chest moving. So I put my fingers on her to make sure she's warm, make sure she's hot. Sorry, I pushed her arm down. Make sure she is breathing. And it was driving me nuts because I was not getting sleep. I wasn't sleeping. And you go a week, 2, 3 weeks like that, you're not functioning during the day. And I finally had, people have asked me, "What was it, Pastor?" None of your business. I don't want to share what was fear, what caused my fear with you, because what if you borrow my fear? What if there's logic to my fear? And you're like, oh God, I've never thought of that. But this is the deal. I had to give it to God. And can I tell you the first night that I got wonderful sleep? No. I woke up several times. And in that first week, I still got up and checked on my kids at night. But I had to keep telling the Lord, Father, I trust you to take care of my family. I trust you that you are my shield. I trust that your word, I trust your word, Lord. As for me and my family, we shall serve the Lord. We will live and not die and proclaim the works of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your hand of protection upon my kids. And I would quote the word, and I remember waking up at night, and I would ask God, God, do I need to get up? And I would feel clear in my spirit. No, they're fine. But there was a desire to get up, and I had to fight that. And can I tell you, I sleep well at night now. That's not my fear anymore, because I've given it to the Lord. And I recognize that whether day or night, when I can't protect my kids, God is. And even when I can, the Lord is there anyway. And he will help me take care of my children. So we don't have to be afraid whether it is day or night. God has us covered. Look at your neighbor and say, God has you covered. Verse 7, are you ready for this? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. You know, this could be the enemy that's fighting against you. Kind of put a little smile on my face. It could be the devil. It could be the enemy that's coming and that 1,000 fall. But you know what else? It could also be your brothers and sisters. I've had brothers and sisters that have failed. I've had family members that have fell out of the kingdom and out of the grace of God. That sounds, I'm talking about living in the kingdom in this world, where they fall to temptation, where they have fallen in sin, and they have, you know, attacks that worked. Can I tell you this? When you are in your Goshen, when you are in the place that you are called to be with the Lord, it doesn't matter who falls, whether it is your enemy or whether it is your brother. Now, we care about people. But we can stand and say, it will not come nigh unto us. See, this is the problem with the body of Christ. People and leaders that are in high position fall in the churches. If they can't make it, if their marriage can't make it, what hope do I have? They've been in the body for years. I don't know them as much as they do. I haven't experienced as much as God as they have. And if they have fallen, oh God, what hope do I have? I'm going to tell you, the word says it doesn't matter who falls. It can be your enemy or it could be your brother. But if you are in your Goshen, if you are in your place, if you are in your secret place, it will not come nigh unto you. Look at your neighbor and say, it won't affect you. You need to look at yourself, point to yourself and say, I will stand when others fall. What verse did we leave off on? 6, 7. Let's go to 7. Oh, that's where we left off on. But it shall not come unto you. I'm ending with verse 8. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. How many times has the body of Christ, how many times have you heard King David even said this? I look at the wicked and they're prospering. I do everything right and I'm the one that's being dumped on. I'm going to church this up. But my father used to tell me, son, crud rolls downhill. And sometimes you're at the bottom holding the bucket. And he would tell me very clearly in our family ranking, you rank lower. So if sometimes you're just going to get the short end of the stick. It's just going to happen. And in the body of Christ, we may feel that way. But what does the word say? Pop it back up on my screen for me. Verse 8. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the rewards of the wicked. Can I tell you something? It's not over. We're not done. The world may seem like they're prospering, but we are not finished. And I'm going to tell you something. Yes, we will see in this lifetime, in this world, us prosper our families do well. We will see that. But there will come a judgment day that with our very eyes, we will see the reward of the wicked. My father always put it this way. Son, everything that happens to you is a reward. If you disobey, you get a reward. If you obey, you get a reward. You get to choose what the reward is. And in our life, we get to choose what the reward is. And with our eyes, those who seem to prosper, that are wicked and that are evil, it is not over. It is not over. And we will accomplish the will of God. And not only will we see the reward of the wicked, but can I say this, the most important, we will see the reward of the righteous. We will behold with our own eyes the blessing of the Lord. We will see it in this lifetime. Can I tell you this? Because most people will point to this and say, heaven, we'll get to see that on Judgment Day. And absolutely, we will behold that with our eyes on Judgment Day. But can I tell you this? No one leaves mother, father, homes, finances. No one leaves these things and do not reap a reward in this lifetime. In this lifetime, everybody points to heaven. And yes, what a day that will be. We sing about it. Oh, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. No more crying over there. You know that hymnal? And that is true. But the thing is, we get to reap it in this lifetime. We get a reward here on earth. We get to live in the kingdom of God, where the world will do it their way. They will get out of the kingdom of God, but the church should live in the kingdom. Look at your neighbor and say, we are the church. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that we are the church. We thank you that you have us covered. We thank you that we are blessed and highly favored of the Lord.